Welcome to Longview Baptist Church. Where will you spend your eternity? This is a question that does have an answer, even if you don't know what it is. I am Pastor John. This ministry is designed to prepare you for that day we will all face, our last. Join us as we find an answer to the tough questions, and remember, you cannot truly live until you're truly ready to die.
Then the high priest took action, he and his colleagues. Those who belonged to the party of the Sadducees were filled with jealousy. So they arrested the apostles, put them in the city jail. But an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail during the night and brought them out and said, "Go and stand in the temple complex and tell the people all about this life." In obedience to this, they entered the temple complex at daybreak and began to teach. Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. God, thank you for the power of the gospel, Lord, to change hearts, to change lives. Thank you for the testimony, God, of these godly men and women all through history that stood firm on truth, the absolute truth of who you are, the person and work of Jesus Christ to salvation. Hide me behind the cross, Lord, so that you might move in hearts as only you can. And we ask this in the name of Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, and our King. Amen. May be seated. Verse 17 and 18. And then the high priest took action. He and his colleagues and those who belonged to the party of the Sadducees, they were filled with jealousy. So they arrested the apostles and put them in the city jail. First thing I want to share with you comes out of those two verses this morning, and it is this. A passionate follower of Jesus Christ should not fear the consequences of obedience. A passionate follower of Jesus Christ should not fear the consequences of obedience. I guess I don't have to remind you that there is not a place in all of heaven or earth or under the earth that we are able to run from God's presence. It is, ready? His presence is inescapable. Now, we can excuse ourselves from his presence by sin, but let me tell you one, 1 John 1:9, when we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So guess what? He hears. Therefore, amen, there's nowhere we can run from him. I think often about our dear brother Joseph. Having done nothing but been obedient, I guess he would be referred to these days as a daddy's boy. That's what our culture would call him, wouldn't they? Daddy's favorite. Mom and dad always have a favorite. Huh? Come on. I know there's a few in here that have probably said that yourselves. Yeah, mom and dad always liked him more than they did me. Awfully quiet. I guess I hit a nerve on that one. Amen. But there is, right? You know, parents, you know what I'm talking about. There's a child that's either easier to raise, as, you know, not that you love him any less, but some kids are harder to raise than others. Oh, wow. Yeah, amen. That's right. Others, you go, "Oh, Lord, thank you for the strength. I'm glad this is over. Oh, me," right? And then what you do, you complain too much about it, and God will send you a whole bunch more. That's why y'all are quiet. You're like, "Nope, don't do what you did to preacher, Lord. You went by the dump truck and just backed up and dumped them out." Amen. That's okay, because God will not put on us more than we are able to bear. And the way of escape is in his word and in prayer. There's no escape. See, as I think about Joseph, who was doing nothing more than living a life of yielded obedience, doing exactly what God had desired for him, found himself a victim of others' sin, aka also known as his brothers. Having done nothing to deserve it, he is taken captive by his brothers, sold into slavery. So he went from being the father's prized child. Anybody know why he was the prized child? His mother. What was her name? Rachel. That's the reason that Benjamin and Joseph were so prized. Because it was a man that Jacob had really loved. So you've got Joseph, who has been sold into slavery by his brothers because they're jealous of him. And he ends up in whose house? Potiphar's. And it's amazing how the scripture says, and God gave him favor. So he finally catches a break until that wretched wife decides that what he is ruddy and handsome, as some version says. I don't know what that means. Maybe he looked homely. So right at the time he gets the break and things are going well, and it's like, finally, you know what? I've caught my groove, I'm living life, and things are good. She wants him to do something he shouldn't do, and he says, no. Well, we know what the story next is. He ends up being accused of something he didn't do. He ends up in prison. So not only has he been taken because he hadn't done nothing, we got version 2.0 of, I haven't done anything, and now I'm being punished for what I didn't do. Was God bigger than what was happening here? Yes. What's actually so profound about it is, not for one momentary instant was Joseph outside of God's perfect plan and will that was so much bigger than Joseph. Imagine Joseph. Just give me a minute. Let me, you know, you got to imagine the human side of just give me a minute to justify. I've done nothing. And then in short order, what happens? God gives the jailer's favor for Joseph. There's nowhere that you and I could be. So see, what you mean, if I was falsely accused of something, I mean, that would be the worst. I would hire the best of ever. I don't know what God you're serving, but are you serving what I'm serving? Do you think God's ever put an innocent person in jail? Yes. It happens a lot. Why? Because God has a plan and a purpose that's bigger than us. And he needs his people to do it. Yes, he can use a serial killer to go share the gospel, but how about someone who's done nothing? Would that not be maybe a little better one to be used in some instances? Someone who actually has been wrongly accused, right? Yeah, serial killer can have a great testimony. But at the same time, you go, what about a person that you ultimately find out didn't do anything wrong? What a great testimony and ability for them as they yield themselves to God's power, plan, and will, just like Joseph. See, God can do amazing things. He does amazing things. Don't ever fear the consequences of obedience. Fear the consequences of disobedience. I will shout that from the mountaintops. Amen? Fear those. Because when that happens, all we're getting is, as the old saying is, what's coming to us? Anybody ever got what's coming to you in life? Yeah, I don't have a chance to get my feet up in the air too. Yes. I'd also say I bet we hadn't gotten what we should have gotten a lot of the time too. Amen. That's where I most experience and understand that in relation to salvation and continually being at a loss as I think about the incomparable riches of salvation and what God has done for us. I am in awe of God's love for us, for me. Overwhelmed. But just like Joseph, don't ever forget this. Don't ever forget that. See, he's the master of the puzzle. You think about the strokes of a brush as God's painting on the canvas of our life. See, he is the artist, not us. He is the one that can place us, not us. We don't have a clue where we need to be. I know I don't. All I literally have to say every day is, God, I don't know where you need me. Lord, take me, use me, place me, wherever you need me. God, I'm willing. Doesn't matter where it is. Because I know that his ways are not my ways and his thoughts are not my thoughts. His ways are higher than my ways and his thoughts higher than my thoughts. That's what I do know. I can't begin to understand the mind of God. And actually, I'm kind of comfortable with that. I'm okay with it. Because when I think I understand something, actually, I really don't even get an iota of it. Amen? I don't understand any of it. But he does. And it's okay that I don't. So then verse 19 and 20, but an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail during the night, brought them out and said, go and stand in the temple complex and tell the people all about this life. So here we are. They've done nothing but the right thing. We've got this jealousy that ensues and these wretched Sadducee, right? Don't believe in the resurrection. That's why they are sad, you see. These people are completely against this resurrection. Jesus talked, they're furious, they're raging. And here are these disciples standing up proclaiming the truth of Jesus Christ, the resurrection and salvation that comes as a result of that. So they're literally spitting in their faces, so to speak. The second thing I want to share with you comes from that. Our God opens cell doors and knocks down walls, city walls. Think about Jericho. Not only does God knock down the walls of cities, but he also builds the walls of cities in short order, hence Nehemiah. What a great story. What a good story. As I was studying and meditating on what God would have me share, a song as a young child that I remember us singing came to mind. Maybe you've heard it, maybe not. And it was one my dad with his ukulele before we'd have devotions in the morning, then we would sing and go to school. And I still remember this like it was yesterday. He's able. He's able. I know he's able. I know my Lord is able to carry me through. He healed the brokenhearted. He set the captives free. He made the lame to walk again, and he caused the blind to see. He's able. He's able. I know he's able. I know my Lord is able to carry me through. Anybody ever heard that? Oh, wow. I remember that. It was one of the ones we sang before we go to school in the morning. But that came into my mind as God laid that principle on my heart. Because God can and will open cell doors, not only the physical ones, but also the spiritual ones. Last Sunday morning, if you remember, I don't know why God has so heavily laid on my heart the profound understanding of, and by the way, it was not in the message. When God laid on my heart, it was for whatever his reason and purpose was last week, referencing spiritual soul ties and the cells, the prison cells of things that have taken us captive in life. It's much like this right here, but see, when we're doing this in God's plan and purpose, God is doing it for a divine reason. So when the enemy does it, he does it to take us captive for his purpose, which is outside of God's plan and purpose. God will put us in a prison cell to use us to be ministered to or to minister to others. Satan does it to rob us from ministry. To rob us from peace, to rob us from hope, to rob us from making sure that our children end up coming to faith in Jesus Christ. He wants our kids to believe that, oh, you'll never be nothing but just like your daddy, the old drunk. Just like your old mother, the hidden pill addict, the woman who could never get out of bed because she was so depressed, or he was such an angry, furious man that you'll never be any more than your father. How many people have ever heard statements kind of like those? Anybody ever heard someone pronounce, in a sense, a curse over you? I had it my whole life. You'll never make it to 18. I heard that so many times, I dead up serious thought I would never make it to 18. I believed it. I think that's why I was so reckless. Interesting thing, when I finally hit 18, I was like, wow, I'm still alive. But I had heard it so long, you begin to own what is said to you. Reason that I'm telling you, it's so destructive when parents say to their kids, you'll be nothing more than your father was, your mother was. You're just like your grandfather, your grandmother. You know, these are curses that are pronounced over you. Well, that's no big, sticks and stones will break my bones. Oh, those spiritual soul ties will hurt you a whole lot more than you think so. That's why deliverance, the worksheet set I have, is so important to go through, understanding the spiritual implications, because what? Sins of the father are passed on to the third and fourth generation. Oh, you want to tell me there's no effect in your children? You can keep telling yourself till you're blue in the face. Yes, it will. Third and fourth generation. There's only one of them I want nested in my place. It's what? The blessings to 1,000. Praise God. That's why it's so important to deal with stuff in our lives. I call it the baggage. Anybody know what baggage is, right? Spiritual baggage is dangerous. If it would just affect us, that'd be a thing of, you know what, I'll just take my lumps. I don't mind taking my lumps, but I don't want to pass no lumps on to my kids. That's why I dealt with mine. Because I don't want to affect their. They're going to have enough on their own, amen, to have me passing on my foolishness. And I think people don't realize, I say how simple, when you take on breaking those, it's like a spiritual battle. Once you get started in that, he'll try to stop you from doing that, and because the enemy does not want you free. He doesn't want you breaking those chains. He does not want you set free in Jesus Christ fully. He doesn't want you breaking those chains that are affecting children's children to the third and fourth. Wonder why it's so hard to get serious about serving the Lord. I'll tell you why. Blessings to 1,000. Yeah, right. He doesn't like that. He wants me in the wheelchair still, a victim of pain medicine or whatever else I would have been, sitting there drowning myself in my own sorrows about what I should have, could have had, if it hadn't been for the foolishness of the city here. Just the plain truth. One man's decision in a training school in Pulaski changed the trajectory of my life. To God be the glory. Though had I not yielded to the power of the Lord, I don't believe I would have been alive now. Probably would have gone that route and probably overdosed 15 years ago, for that matter. See, God's plans and purposes, when we do yield ourselves to him, can transform generations. Is it easy? No. This is the hardest part. It requires us to be honest with ourselves, which I'm not going to lie. That's a hard thing to do, isn't it, guys? It's easy to be honest about others. How many people find it really easy to be honest about your struggles, battles, or insecurities? Anybody go, oh, it's real easy, yes! No. But there's no deliverance until we do. We don't even have a course with which to set the trajectory to until we finally, ready? Step back and do an introspective look in the temple of self. I will forewarn you, sometimes it's not pretty, but that's okay. I don't think there's anybody in this building right now that would say, you know, I've never done anything. My whole life, we could play every thought I've ever had on this screen right here, and I'd just sit right here and be fine with it. Matter of fact, I think that happened. It'd be like somebody yell, B-O-M-B. Everybody'd be out of here when their time come. Because there's no one in here that hasn't ever had thoughts that you're just horribly ashamed of at one point or another in your lifetime. And that's the sin nature that dwells in all of us. But yet, what is so beautiful is Jesus comes to set us free from our hearts, our minds, our thoughts, and the brokenness of what we are. He comes to set us free from the pain, the ramifications, and the damage that those generational issues can cause. But it starts when we get honest about it ourselves. And many times it's with a message like this, when the Holy Spirit does what the disciples did in essence, and the Holy Spirit carries us in spirit to the feet of Christ and says, hey, what are you going to do? In this final verse, be finished up in verse 21. In obedience to this, they entered the temple complex at daybreak and began to teach. So we had them thrown in jail for the wrong reason. The Lord said, nope, not going to happen. They get miraculously delivered in the middle of the night. Jailers still think they're in there. What does God say at daybreak? You better be out there and share the Christ. In obedience to this, they entered the temple complex at daybreak and began to teach. You imagine being a little nervous there? You just broke out of jail? I bet they're like, you know what? God did this. Man, hey, I'm on his team. They can't do anything to me because he has me. Third and final thing, let your place of peace be the perfect peace that is in the center of God's plan. Listen again, let your place of peace be the perfect peace that is in the center of God's plan. If you're Joseph, it's in the bottom of the well the first day. If you're Joseph, it's in Potiphar's house. At rest with God's plan. I think it's in the neighborhood of 15 years, Joseph. 15 years. I don't know if I could. You want God's plan or you want yours? Anybody in here want to throw? I don't want to throw 15 years away, but what if God's plan is to place you in a place of ministry that in your eyes it looks like you're getting, but you're not losing anything? God's plan's God's plan. It's not ours. Are you yielded to him, and are you willing to do whatever it is that God wants you to do with your life? Then you've got to be okay with whatever it is. This is when it really jumps to real. What about your child? What happens if you have a very gifted child who's bananas for Jesus, and you've got these plans, and you have a child who's maybe like my brother who's really smart? And, you know, you want to be the lawyer, the doctor, you know, as that old country song, right? Mama, don't let your babies grow, right? What happens when your child comes home and says, I want to be a missionary in India, Pakistan? What happens when your child, remember, they were going to be the golden parachute for you. What happens when that child says, Mom, Dad, hey, I believe God's calling me to be a missionary. Wherever your heart goes right there for that one, think about it yourself is where your heart's at. Would you inside go, praise the name of Jesus, glory, hallelujah? Or inside would you go, oh, I don't want that. What kingdom are you building this morning? See, we know the deepest intentions of our hearts. People don't see that. But what would your response be if you hypothetically put your child in that position? You've heard me say this before, and I'll say it again. We got a lot more of them in my family, my children, they can get married. If one of my daughters or sons meets somebody that you would consider not very socially inept, maybe he's socially inept, and he's at McDonald's, and he's cleaning that grease trap out, and it's funky. Remember, grease traps are nasty. And that's what his desire, his life, his ambition, that's where God put this person. And they are bananas for Jesus, and they're going to only make, well, they're making pretty doggone good money now at McDonald's, but back in the normal days, it wasn't that way. But let's just say that your child strives to be the lead grease trap cleaner at McDonald's. Nothing more. And they're bananas for Christ, and they live in a single wide trailer that looks like it's literally about to fall down. And they live in abject poverty for the rest of their lives, driving one of those jalopies. You know, got one of those old 85 Caprice Classics with no hubcaps on it. Y'all know what I'm talking about. If that's one of my sons or daughters, and they're in love with Jesus, that's my heart's desire for them. Much better than some banker, some attorney, or some doctor that's headed straight for hell, dragging my daughter and my son with him. If it was a female that was a nurse, or you know what I'm talking about, if it was my son, I'd rather my children marry someone who is in love with Jesus Christ, because I can promise you now, my children will live that life that God intended them to. When their greatest desire is to marry someone who is in love with Jesus. Because this is what I know then. That person will be able to love them like they deserve to be loved. They will have the capability of treating them the way that God designed them to be treated. Girl or boy. But if they don't know Jesus, they don't know love. And you know as well as I do, money only creates a more wicked beast in us. Amen? But a passion for Jesus keeps everything in its proper place. As Jim Elliot says, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. He spoke that shortly before being killed by the Aka Indians. What incredible wisdom in those words. This morning, let your place of perfect peace be the perfect peace that's in the center of God's will for your life. That's my heart's desire for you. Is that your prayer for your children? As I go and pray over little ones at night, Lord, guard their hearts, their minds. Draw them to yourself, Lord. Pray that their future spouses, you guard their hearts and draw their hearts to you. You know, it was really awesome because I got to share that with my son's wife. Been praying for your whole life. I didn't know you. I'm so thankful to know the young lady that I've been praying for. I just want you to know I've been praying for you your whole life. Don't think that impacted her, did it? You see, it's true. I have been. And I know Emily has. Are you going to be able to give that gift to one of your future daughter or son-in-laws? If not, you can start it today. You might be late getting to the game, but I tell you what, you're still praying to the same God I do about it. Amen? Start praying that God would take captive their hearts, their passions, their desires, that God would transform them. What you're going to be doing, whether you realize it or not, is praying that God divinely intervenes and allows your child to have God's desire and will for their life. But we've got to get serious about these things in the first place. Get serious about these generational issues. The subtitle this morning, I think I forgot to share that with you, is the subtitle of this morning's message. You ready? unhindered. Are you unhindered this morning? Are you passionately in love with Jesus? Are you serving the Lord, but are you unhindered in that? Or, as you've thought about the things that we've addressed this morning, you realize that there's a lot of things that could hinder us. I'm hindered by my desire for my children to be wealthy and to marry that person of status one day. Like I say, I say this all sincere, I don't care. I don't care. Matter of fact, I don't look like stuck up in this anyways. So if I had children that married somebody who come up to my house, you're gonna find out right fast. We are nothing fancy. Right off the bat, you'll find that out. If they are people that only like the fanciest and everything nice and great, they're not going to like coming to my spot, amen? I'm just kind of, what you see is what you, we have controlled chaos at the house. It's all we can have. But that's okay with me because I'm more concerned about the spiritual than I am the external. Would I like to have everything a certain way and have everything done? Yes. Will it get there? Yeah, if I live to be 120. But that's okay because my investments go in somewhere else. And it's in these littles that God's blessed us with. It's in the kingdom. And I know one day, I can promise you one thing, one of my greatest regrets will not be, man, I'll tell you what, I wish we'd have bid on that house over there across the street from the country club we almost bought about a year and a half ago. Lord, if only we'd have done that, you know, I could have had a really nice striped yard by now. A really nice striped yard. And everything would be done. It is nice. I won't do that. Because what I find is back when my 30 years ago when I was a tech and I was with a lot of people when they died over the years, a lot, there was one recurring theme in death. And it's a word that starts with R, regret. I heard so many people share their regrets with me and family members when I was there. Might be one of the reasons that I am like I am. And I just, everything's on the table because I don't want to live a life of regret. When I breathe my last one day, I want to be able to say, God, I did everything to the glory of you. God, each one of these littles that you allowed us to be a part of, I pray they've come to know Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior, but I know above all, that we've placed the seeds necessary to the greatest of our ability and love them with the love of Jesus to the greatest ability that I could, we could. And I know that God is faithful to do his part. But I know then that I will have lived a life unhindered. Unhindered by the most dangerous of all dangers. Self. Self. This morning, if there's something hindering you, I want to challenge you to do this. I want to challenge you, as the scripture says, to throw it off. To throw it off this morning. And if something needs to change, that you will unshackle yourself from that thing. Unshackle that thing right now that's affecting generationally in your life, and you can end it beginning today. You leave here with a course correction and a trajectory set on the finish line. Not focused, Bible says, forget what is behind, strain towards what is ahead. You allow the Lord to do this, kick the rearview mirror off your life. Stop defining yourself either by your successes or beating yourself up over your failures. Let God kick the proverbial rearview mirror and side mirrors out and off this morning so you can walk out today with a renewed passion so that when you cross that finish line, there's going to be a glorious rejoicing in your spirit because you will know that this day, October 17th of 2021, you'll remember, was the day that you decided to get serious about the only thing that would ever matter when that time came. Let's pray. Father,
thank you for joining us today. We pray that God's word has encouraged you. You feel like you've had fellowship and been at home with family. Today, if God has moved in your heart, and today you would like to make him not only the Savior, but the Lord of your life, first, it's important to know that we are sinners. We're born sinners. No one can bridge the gap that was separated when sin broke what God had created so beautifully. If today you know you're a sinner in need of a Savior, and you know that Jesus Christ was born, lived a sinless life, and died on the cross to pay for your sin, today, if you want to, you can trust him as your Lord and Savior. It requires you to pray and in faith ask him to save you, to forgive you of your sins, to cleanse you, and you want to live for him. I pray today, if you do that, that you will reach out to us. We would love to get you connected in a church body, a church home, wherever that might be, and get discipleship around you so you can grow in this new life that you found in Christ. Read God's word. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. God bless you.